Invite you this morning to turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. And I don't think I've ever preached a message on this topic before. It is a thing that we find in the Scriptures that the Lord gives us so many pictures, as we see in the Scriptures, pictures with the prophets that tell us about ourselves and about life, about the kingdom, about eternity. Our Lord Jesus resorted to such as he looked to explain and help us understand spiritual affairs. And we have this theme that runs through the Bible about this particular disease, and it is a type of something unto us, and so we want to take a look at that here this morning. The Lord has called Brother Moses to go to Israel, who is captive in Egypt, that he might deliver them, that the Lord would deliver them. He's going to use this man. He's going to be his spokesman, and he's going to be the mouthpiece of God. He's going to be the leader unto the people, someone that they can see visibly. He's going to make good on a promise that he had made to the patriarchs, to the fathers, and he's going to deliver them. He's birthed his nation in Egypt. They have explosively grown, and now it's time for them to depart out of Egypt, for the Lord to deliver them from the cruel and fierce bondage of Egypt, and he's going to send Moses into them. Moses is not convinced. He says, I can't speak. He's got all kinds of excuses. He's kind of been on idle and on the shelf for 40 years on the backside of the desert in Midian, but the Lord knew exactly where he was, and he is God's man that he's calling, and he's going to equip him and use him greatly, and we are thankful for the Lord's work and ministry of Moses unto this day. That's the way the Lord works. And so here in this chapter, Moses said in verse number 1, they will not believe me. The Israelites will not. They will not hearken. They won't believe and obey my voice. They'll say, the Lord has not appeared unto you. And so the Lord tells him to do something with the rod, and it becomes a snake. And we hear about that in passages to come, how that is used and of the Lord. And in verse number 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand. Verse number 6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, unto Moses, put now thine hand into thy bosom. So stick it in your clothing. And he put his hand into his bosom. And then when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. So in an instant, Brother Moses' hand was like snow. And that is really, really white. In an instant, he had not had any thought that he had leprosy whatsoever. But when he put that into his garment and then pulled it back out, his hand was leprous as snow. And he, God, said, put thine hand in thy bosom again. Now, what do you think about that? You just don't want to touch anything with that hand, because leprosy is a most serious, serious disease. It's a bacterial infection, we understand now. It is very, very, it has staying power. You just don't get rid of leprosy, even in this day, easily. It's treatable in our day, but you got to catch it early. And so now the Lord tells him, stick it back in your bosom. I don't want to touch my chest with this, but he did. He said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again. Listen to what it says. And plucked it out. Do you see that? In verse number in verse number 6, he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, he put his hand into put thy hand into thy bosom, and he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. So leprosy, Leprosy is something, a theme, again, that we see through the scriptures, and it is dreaded. It is something to be feared. As the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and took them ultimately because of their sin in the sojourn of 40 years, he gave the law unto Moses while they were sojourning. And in the book of Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14, there's so many, that entire passage, that entire chapter deals with the plague of leprosy. And these are the words that are used because it is that way. Things are declared there where the one that has such plague in them is unclean. It is a leprosy. Old leprosy. Leprosy that needs to be determined by the priest. What kind, what sort it is. Maybe it's leprosy, maybe it's something else. A lot of description was given for the leprosy, or a leprosy. We saw that Brother Moses, when he pulled out his hand, initially it was white as snow. That's because it kills the skin. It causes the flesh to die. It speaks about in Leviticus that it takes hair that's growing on that flesh, and that it is turns it white because it's killing it. It's changing it. And of course, hair is protein that is grown from the body, but its effect upon that is such that this whiteness, this death, is the result of it. The plague of leprosy. The plague of leprosy. On and on, it's declared that such that has the plague of leprosy is unclean. There was something that they were to do, that they were to separate themselves from the congregation. They had to be separated because it is contagious. It will spread. Brother Moses, when he saw what it was, he just a man being a man, he obeyed the Lord, but that's the reason he plucked it back out, because he was afraid of it. And so were they to be afraid of it. A leprous man is the reference. And of course, women would get it too. There would be a pronouncing, depending on how it would go and what the case would be, to be utterly unclean. Cannot be around anyone unless they would be leprous themselves. From this, we understand and hear and have known about leper colonies, where that the lepers, the only ones that they can congregate with, be together with, are other lepers. The plague, fretting leprosy, uncleanness because of it all. And the Lord wraps up in chapter 13 saying, this is the law of the plague of leprosy. It had to have its own directive to the nation, that they would know how to deal with it and to avoid it. It was in the day. It happened amongst people. And the Lord prepared them to be able to deal with it. The law was such that it would be by the priest who had this instruction from the Lord to pronounce someone clean or to pronounce them unclean because of the plague of leprosy. It was possible that folks could be healed from it. It was possible. There was instruction that was given in chapter 14 about how to deal with such. There was a glimmer of hope, speaking as a man, that one could be clean. But they had to be very careful if it was in the house, if it was in the clothing, if it was in the fabrics of things that they would use in life, like the furniture and such as that. They had to be very, very careful about how that was dealt with, to determine whether it was leprosy or not. It was so bad that Brother Aaron and the priests of the descendants of Aaron that would be priests, the lineage of Brother Aaron, if they were a leper, they could not serve in the priesthood. It was forbidden. They they had to be not used in that service. In Numbers, the Lord declares that if there is a leper, they must be put out of the camp. Must be. There's no exception. They must be put out of the camp. And then Brother Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, in that book he's preaching to that second generation that's about to enter into the land. He takes a point in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse number 8, to remind them, take heed in the plague of leprosy, that thou observe diligently. You be on it. And do according to all that the priest, the Levite, shall teach you, as I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. So it was a serious business, this about leprosy. That could just spread, and families could be wiped out by it or touched by it, and it could just go through the camp because it was so contagious. So we have this of leprosy, and the Lord used it as a sign, to be a sign unto Egypt, or to Pharaoh and to the leaders of Egypt, and that the Lord had power over it. No person has ever healed from leprosy that fast. But God sent his man with that sign, and he was. When he pulled out his hand before Pharaoh and before the children of Israel, they knew what it was. And then when he was healed, even though they may have trepidation, they would see that his hand, they would probably pull up his shirt sleeve, his coat sleeve, and look there, and that he was healed just like he was before. Leprosy, very, very serious thing. Cases of leprosy that are accounted in the scriptures. And we, you know, once again, we touch upon these things that are foundational accounts in the Old Testament scriptures that we teach to our children. And from them, by them, a foundation is laid to the working of God. And when we have a time like this morning's message, and we take them and we bring them together, just at least in reference, we can see about the theme of those accounts. There's that account where Miriam and Aaron, they stood up in Numbers chapter 12 and they said, wait a minute, Moses, you're just going too far. You're taking too much authority to yourself. And the Lord, if you will, the Lord told them there, he said, you all come over here to the tabernacle. And they were there at the door. And the Lord told them, if I've told a prophet anything, I'll tell him something, and he'll declare it, and it'll be found to be true, and that's my choice. But as for Moses, I have gone beyond that with him, and I speak to him face to face, like friends would talk. And the Lord was angered at their doubt of the calling of Moses, and it wasn't about Moses, it was about what the Lord had done. And Miriam, it says in verse number 10 of Numbers chapter 12, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow in an instant. She went from most likely her olive-colored skin and being in the sun, I would guess, and being of the descent that she was, and she was white, like snow white, like Moses' hand was white. And they knew exactly what she had. She became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. See, Aaron is the one that makes this judgment about leprosy, and he knew exactly what it was. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beg thee, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us. He confesses that they have sinned, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And anyone that's seen a just delivered baby knows how it is with them, that there's a lot of skin cells that are dead. The baby has to be washed up and cleaned up. And that was the reference that he had. She's dead. She's like a dead person. She's got this. And he repents. And the Lord deals with them accordingly. And she is healed. She is healed by the Lord. She doesn't have to endure the normal case of what a leper goes through. Not only did the Lord inflict the leprosy upon her, but the Lord healed her of her leprosy too. Naaman, in 2 Kings chapter 5, he's a captain, a mighty captain of the host of Syria. He was a great man with the king of that nation. The Lord had used him to give deliverance to Syria, the scripture says there in 2 Kings 5. He's a mighty man of valor, but he's a leper. So he has to live a separate life from his day-to-day life. There was a little maid there in Syria, taken captive, and what a blessing the attitude of that little maid was. She wasn't bitter. She said, "Would to God there was a prophet, one of the Lord's prophets here. He would heal Naaman. He would heal my master of his leprosy." The king of Syria sends Naaman down to Israel, and with a letter he goes to the king, and the king of Israel is just beside himself. Elisha, brother Elisha, hears about it and says, "Send him on down here. I'll take care of him. I'll take care of what needs to be done." He says to him, he sends word to him in 2 Kings 5:10, "Naaman, you go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." But his servants were very wise. They came to him and said, "If he would ask you to do anything, anything great, you would have done it." But he said, "Just go wash in Jordan. Yeah, the rivers up at home are better, but go wash in Jordan 7 times. Won't you go do that?" And he did. And he was healed. And he was greatly convicted. It's a subject for another time. But he knew that God was God alone. This man is a slave unto his master, unto the king. He is. He's got some limitations and some bounds upon him, some restraints upon him, but he is convicted. He seems to be a man that has been saved too, to me. But he had leprosy for all this time, all these years, no doubt. And there was one, the king of Israel, the Lord, that recovered him. There was that servant of Elisha there in 2 Kings chapter 5. He was the servant of Elisha. Gehazi is his name. And Naaman, he wanted to give gifts to the prophet. "Let me give you the best of what we've got." Elisha says, "This work's not for sale. You take all that stuff and keep it for yourself." But the servant of Elisha heard that. And he got to thinking about that change of raiment, that money. It could just be ours if we just took it, received it. And so he went after Naaman. He lied. He comes back to Elisha. And in chapter 5, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 25, "But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, 'Whence comest thou, Gehazi?' And he said, 'Thy servant went no whither.'" Listen, all of us, young people, lies beget lies. Lies will cause you to have to lie some more to cover it up. And lie and lie and lie till you got a stack of lies. The prophet said, "Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, when he saw you coming? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen, men servants and maid servants?" He said, "Where will you stop, Gehazi? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and to thy seed forever. And he went out from Elisha's presence, a leper, as white as snow. This leprosy inflicted of the Lord. And I believe Gehazi in his bitterness became confederate with the enemy kings of Israel and gave really, really bad, damaging advice to those kings. There's an account in 2 Kings chapter 7 where these four leprous men, they were in a real strait. There was a great siege upon the city, and the Syrians are there to take the city. But the Lord delivers them, and the prophet declares some things in 2 Kings 7 that is as little, as scarce as the food is here in town, it's going to be sold for cheap tomorrow. And the Lord had taken and he had caused a confusion amongst the enemy that was sieging the city. And these four leprous men said, we can't go into the city because we're lepers. Well, let's just go over here to the camp of the Syrians. And if they kill us, great. If they help us, great. We've got no hope. And they go over there and they find that the camp's empty. They find that the camp is empty. And there's plenty to eat, plenty to change. So much wealth, and they became troubled by not letting the city know, and so they told the city, they told the porters, they told those at the gate, because they wouldn't be allowed to enter the city, and the city ran on out there, and they were able to have food and the sustenance that they needed. The Lord brought the words of the prophet to pass, because it's the word of the Lord. And the one that had quarreled about that, about the impossibility of such a thing happening in one day, he was even killed, because that's what the prophet said. You'll know it'll be the case, but you won't eat of any of it. And what do we hear about the four lepers? Nothing else. Because lepers are just, they're removed from society. They were gracious in what they did, but we hear no more about them. There's a king in 2 Kings chapter 15, Azariah, also known as Uzziah. He says to himself, he says, and that's where it starts in our hearts, he says, I'm going to go offer sacrifice and incense like the priests do. And the priest withstood him, said, no, that's not the order of the Lord. It's king, it's not your business. Even though you are king, it's not your business. But it says in 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, verse number 17, verse number 18, rather, and they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not to thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord. It appertains to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to do so. Go out of the sanctuary, for you're trespassing. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. The Lord is not going to honor this at all. And then Uzziah was wroth, verse 19 of 2 Chronicles 26, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead. So not an extremity, but on his forehead, on his face. See, wherever the leprosy is, that's what it's going to work on and to rot and to kill. It's one thing to have something happen with your foot, and even for one to be debilitated, not be able to walk, but to have such a malady up here close to the operating center of our brain. They all knew what that would mean for him. The leprosy rose up on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord and beside the incense altar. They drove him out from there. And it tells us in verse number 21 that he was a leper unto the day of his death. The judgment of the Lord upon him. Leprosy, a terrible, terrible disease. And in that day, save for the touch of the Lord, there was no help or no cure. But the Lord Jesus, in the day of his ministry, he didn't stay away from the lepers, but he was compassionate to them too. And in Mark chapter 1, we see what the Lord Jesus does and says about lepers. In Mark chapter 1, verse number 40, "And there came a leper to Jesus, beseeching him," he's begging him and kneeling down to him, he's worshiping him and saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." If you're here this morning and not saved, I want you to listen to this verse, this passage. Hear what the Lord says. This man knows that he is sick. He knows that Jesus is able to help him. And he's kneeling down to him. He's worshiping him. And he says unto him, "If you will, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." All that's lacking here is not you trying real hard, but if you want to, you can make me clean. Of leprosy. He had places on him that were snow white, and maybe even pieces of his body, digits, that were missing because of it. And he says, "If you just want to, you can make me clean." Listen to this. Verse 41, "And Jesus moved with compassion," because Jesus, God, is the definition of compassion. He's 100% compassionate too. Another attribute, a wonderful attribute. All of them are wonderful, but praise his name that he is 100% compassionate. "And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand." Do you know that's illegal? It's not legal for the Lord to touch him. "He put forth his hand and touched him, and he saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him." You remember about Moses plucking out his hand? That's the way the Lord can do it. Immediately, that whiteness, that white as snowness of the man and wherever he was affected, and I would imagine anything that he was missing, parts of his ear or digits, all that was restored too, because that's the way the Lord heals. He heals completely and wholly. "As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And Jesus straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man," don't tell it, "but go thy way and show thyself to the priest," what I indicated to you back in Leviticus 14, "and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto the priests." Because they would have known he was a leper, because they would have indicated to him that he was leprous. He would have been alienated from society. And then he's instantly healed head to toe. And then again, if anything, part of his ear or his digits or whatever were missing, they were restored. He said, "You go do that." "But the man went out," verse 45, "and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. Jesus has healed me from my leprosy. Jesus has healed me from my leprosy. See? Insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." Jesus' compassion, even upon the lepers. Jesus' power, even dealing with leprosy. It tells us in Matthew chapter 26 that the Lord Jesus was there in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. That would be formerly a leper, because no doubt Jesus had healed Simon. That's where the woman came with the alabaster box of ointment and anointed the Lord Jesus unto his death. In Luke chapter 17, see, Jesus feared no risk of the leprosy coming back, did he? Because he knew how he had healed. Power over even this dreaded disease that was mysterious and unknown to the people. They knew that it was so. They knew that it happened. They feared it. In Luke chapter 17, verse number 11, and it came to pass as Jesus went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, they met him 10 men that were lepers. They had heard the word about Jesus, which stood afar off, because that was what was required of them. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." In the same way, and in a very akin way as blind Bartimaeus. "Jesus, have mercy on us. We know you can. We need your touch and your help." Verse 14, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.'" Again, after the law that we've referred to. "And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." So they had to believe the Lord. They had to have faith that what he said to do was the thing to do. "As they went, they were cleansed." They go and they're walking and they're running. They're heading to the priest. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." Praise God. "Thank you, Father. Thank you, God." "And fell down on his face at Jesus' feet." "Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for healing me of my leprosy." And he was a Samaritan. Not a full-blooded Jew. Not a full-blooded Gentile. But part Jew, part Gentile. I've always found this interesting, what Jesus said. "And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed?'" Because he did heal the other 9. "But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith in me hath made thee whole.'" He believed that the Lord could do it, and the Lord was compassionate and did so. In Luke chapter 4, the Lord, as he's dealing with the people in his own city there in Nazareth, he made mention of something that we've already taken a look at in the Old Testament. A thing that was done because of the hardness of the nation and the wickedness of the nation and the divided kingdom in that day. He declares in Luke 4:27, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." And he was cleansed by God, because there was no faith in Israel. There was no desire in Israel for the Lord. There was only the desire to go away from God. And the Lord is taking that and using that to explain to that generation in his day that their case was the same. He said to them, "You won't come to me that you might be saved, even though I'm the one that the Scripture speaks all about." We see the compassion of attitude in Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ, where in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 8, he tells his disciples to go forth and says, "Heal the sick and cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. freely you have received, freely give. In Matthew 11, 5, where those two witnesses came, or the two disciples of John, rather, came to the Lord Jesus to ask him, are you the one that we're to look for, or should we look for another? He told them to go back and tell John, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. He told them the account there in Luke chapter 7, verse 22, along the same line. He said, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. Our Lord's compassion, even towards the leprous, He's able to heal. He's able to heal and to help in an instant. Something that until modern times was impossible to be dealt with. And again, only today can it be dealt with if it's diagnosed early and treated very early. See, Jesus says in Mark chapter 2, verse number 17, He was challenged by the leadership of Israel. Why do you eat with publicans and sinners? And we could understand the same thing. Why do you have to do with the leprous? They're unclean. They're totally unclean. When Jesus heard it, He said, as in Mark 2:17, heard it, He saith to them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, even the leprous. And what that does is points us to is to Jesus' next words. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Leprosy is not the real issue. Leprosy has been a real issue for many, many people, but it's not the ultimate issue. The ultimate issue is sin. Leprosy is like sin, but sin is worse. Leprosy is contagious. So is sin, through the bloodline from Adam. Leprosy has a stench about it, and so does sin before God. Leprosy affects the nervous system and causes one to not be able to physically feel. So sin sears the conscience and makes one less and less sensitive to sin and its effects. Hear it. It's what it's speaking about and to us. It was really, really so that people had this leprosy and that the Lord's the only one that is able to heal completely. And it's a dreaded, terrible disease. Very contagious. But it's not the ultimate problem. It tells about what the ultimate problem is. Leprosy is ugly and disfigures. And so it is with sin, but worse. Leprosy is deadly, but a slow death. So is sin, but it takes one to an eternal death. Leprosy separates and alienates. So does sin, but it does so eternally. Leprosy results in loneliness, and so does sin. Leprosy in the day of our Lord was untreatable by man. So it is with sin today and always. It's untreatable by man. Leprosy in our day is curable if it is treated early. Sin must be dealt with in this life by Jesus Christ for there to be an eternal cure. The leprosy of sin. Jesus declared it at that time when those four brought the man that was stricken by the palsy and they let him down through the roof And he tells that man that his sins were forgiven him. And of course, the leadership, the folks there of that city that were of the synagogue and of the leadership of the Jews, they fussed about that and they were offended by that. They thought that Jesus was blasphemous when he told that man to be of good cheer, your sins have been forgiven you. And Jesus challenged them. He said, what's easier? What's easier? Is it easier for me to say your sins be forgiven thee or to say get up and walk? But he says in Luke chapter 5, verse number 24, listen, if you're here today and not saved, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, he said to the lepers, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. That you might know that he has the power to forgive sins. Jesus has healed the lepers, that you might know he has the power to heal your sin leprosy. Believe him, trust in him, and rest in him.